Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. How are you? Hope you're well. Hope you had a very happy Christmas if you were celebrating. Hope you had a lovely time with friends, family, or perhaps even some acquaintances or friends of friends. However open you are to having those people in your life around Christmas time, whatever you did, hope you had a fine time. You ate well, drank well, and all was good and happy and peaceful with you. It is going to be a pretty no-frills episode of the show today, I have to say, because people who were or who would ordinarily be potential guests for the show to discuss the Brighton game are doing their festive thing. They're hanging out with their friends and their family. They've got their phones off, they've got their emails off, or they're not looking at their email. And in truth, I think at this time of the year, it's all right to give people a bit of distance and not hassle them to appear on a podcast. Nevertheless, we are going to look ahead to the game against Liverpool. And the one person, I suppose, that I could hassle or rope into doing something or giving some of their time at this time of the year is the Mug Smasher. And he will be along. We'll have a chat about Arsenal, Liverpool and a few other bits in just a few moments' time. Just to take a moment as well to reflect on what happened at Brighton. The 1-1 draw, I have to say, was really disappointing. The performance, particularly in the second half, was really, really poor. Maybe the first half was more frustrating because we were definitely on top of the game early on, weren't we? We started very well. We scored after 7 minutes. Brighton were pressed back in their own half. We had total control of the ball, total control of possession. Possession and the ball are the same fucking thing. I'm talking about territory. We had them pushed right back, but I thought we played a bit conservatively, a bit passively. We didn't really try and turn the screw. And it was one of those, as I was watching it, going, we could very well pay a price for not going for this game, for not really getting it by the scruff of the neck after the early goal. And so it proved. We failed to take a chance, a really good chance to make it 2-0. And then we were undone by just hapless defending. We had a corner. And from that corner, within 5 or 10 seconds, Brighton had equalised. Stefan Lichtsteiner did not judge the flight of the ball properly. He headed it into the path of the Brighton striker. Guendouzi had switched off. I'm not sure that Mesut Ozil continued to track his runner the way he should have. Leno came out. I think he had to. He had no choice but to come out, really, given the guy was clean through on goal. He went past him, rolled the ball into an empty net, and it was 1-1, and it was the price we paid for the way we approached the game after the goal. The decisions, and I'm going to talk to the Mug Smasher a little bit about this, from Unai Emery, I don't think were good decisions in terms of how he managed the game, how he managed his substitutes, and to have 70% possession in the game and finish with only 7 attempts on goal, while Brighton had 12 attempts with their, whatever it was, 30%, 31% possession, tells you a story about this team and about its inability to create. There was a very interesting stat from our friend Orbino on Twitter. He is at Orbino, and he says Arsenal are averaging only 13.1 shots per game this season, the lowest rate per match since Opta began collecting Premier League data in 1996. So this story or this narrative that was going around earlier in the season about how Arsenal were outperforming XG, whether you buy into that or not, is reflected in that statistic. We're not creating enough opportunities on goal. Perhaps we're being more efficient with the ones that we are creating, but there's a problem. There is a problem with creativity in the team. When you take Mesut Ozil out, whatever you think of Ozil, he is a creative player. He is somebody who can find a pass. Maybe he doesn't fit into Emery's system. Maybe he doesn't work hard enough, but when you're playing away from home with three defensive midfielders, it's always going to be difficult to get the ball to the attacking players. And when the attacking players in the second half were Alex Iwobi, who's going through a very difficult time, Alexandre Lacazette eventually replaced by Aaron Ramsey, there's a weird decision, there was a weird call, or Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, there was a moment really late in the game, perhaps the last minute of injury time, and we were pushing, we'd had a corner, we were pushing to try and find a goal. And on the left-hand side, just inside their half, an Arsenal player picked up the ball and cut inside and lost the ball. And that player was Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And I'm wondering what is going on when our striker is having to drop that deep to pick up the ball to try and make something happen because nothing else is happening. Nothing else is going on. We're not getting the ball into dangerous areas. We're not causing them problems. We're not opening them up. We're not stretching them in any way. And I think there's something wrong with the way we played on Saturday, or whatever fucking night it was. What night was it? Wednesday night. You know, Aubameyang is not the kind of player who could do what Thierry Henry could do from time to time and pick the ball up in that area and drive towards goal and beat a few players and make something happen, whether it was a shot on goal himself or create something. I'd ask who Aubameyang was actually going to create for at that point. Maybe Aaron Ramsey would have got himself into the box, but who else? So it's little wonder, really, that we came away from that second half without really threatening the Brighton goal. The most dangerous we were was when a clearance was kicked against Alex Iwobi and the ball spun just wide of the far post. And that really does say an awful lot about how poor we were in that second half. Unai Emery has received a lot of credit this season for the way he's got us on an unbeaten run, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for achieving that. And I understand that we have big problems in our defence, which I'm not sure can be fixed by organisation or coaching. I think they can really only be fixed by personnel at this point. We're now in a situation where I am welcoming the return of Shkodran Mustafi, because he is a natural central defender, somebody who can play in that position. It doesn't mean I don't think we can improve on him. Of course we can. I think we can and we have to. But as far back as August, there were coaching staff saying that Emery is absolutely aware that Arsenal have defensive problems. And if this is the result of intensive defensive coaching, we've got two possibilities here. One is that Unai Emery is not a particularly good defensive coach, and there are big question marks then to be asked about his organization and the way he sets up his team. Or two, we have extremely weak personnel with whom you can only do so much. And if it's two, then that's relatively easily fixable via the transfer market if the club can find the money to do that. Whether it means having to move some players on in January, sell some players and raise some funds, I'm not quite sure. But if it is option two, then the transfer team, Sven Mislintat, Raul Sanyehi, they've got to be working hard on this. If it's number one, then I think we need to be really worried. But I'm more inclined to believe it's number two at this moment in time. I think Unai Emery deserves at least two more transfer windows to try and build a team more in his image, rather than trying to reshape a team which he inherited, which had big defensive issues anyway. So it was a really disappointing game, I think, the Brighton game. And when you're going into a game against Liverpool, to be that exposed and to be that poor is a real worry because, well, I mean, if we play anywhere near as badly at Anfield on Saturday night, Liverpool are going to tear us a new one. Maybe we'll up our game to match the intensity of the opposition. And let's not forget that we had a very good performance against Liverpool a couple of weeks ago. So there's that. But it is not particularly inspiring to see the team play in the way they did. We all know we've got defensive issues, but when we can't create with some of the players that we've got in our squad, if Emery can't squeeze some creativity out of those players, then I don't think it's unfair to ask a few questions of him. So we'll keep fingers crossed for Saturday night. I'm not particularly confident, I have to say, after what I saw against Brighton. But football is surprising. You never know. You never know. Anyway, let's move on. And Who better than to talk about the Liverpool game and Liverpool themselves with me than the Mug Smasher. Hello, Mug Smasher. Festive greetings to you.
And to you, a good night.
Well, that's a nice way to wrap up this conversation.
Good.
No, it's been a good old Christmas. Obviously, we've been spending some time together, eating and drinking and doing the Christmas things.
That's true. Yeah. It's been very pleasant.
Has been very pleasant. Nice and relaxing. Nothing too strenuous. And for you, going into the Christmas period with Liverpool on top of the table, it's like it's even better than the present we all got each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, I don't know. I haven't played that game yet.
No, me neither. Yeah. It's Red Dead Redemption. It was what would you like for Christmas? Red Dead Redemption 2, please. And you? Yes.
Same.
Yes, okay, we'll do that.
It worked out beautifully.
It was good. Rather than just buy it for ourselves, we did indeed exchange.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the right way to do it, I think.
Go through the motions.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Although I couldn't find it in the shops.
Really?
Yeah, it was gone out of GameStop. And have you noticed that in video game shops now, they have a really limited number of new games on the shelves?
No.
You should.
I don't spend much time.
No, me neither. But you used to be able to go in and all the new games will be there and there'll be loads of them. And now there's about 10 new games and then buckets and buckets of second-hand games and used games and stuff like that. But I couldn't find it anywhere, so I had to buy it from the evil place.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You did leave your shopping very late, though, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I kind of, not that I forgot it was Christmas, it just kind of crept up on me, you know.
It'll do that.
But there you go. Anyway, look, that's something for us to look forward to in the new year. We can trade Red Dead Redemption 2 stories. My horse is shit.
It's all ahead of us.
Yeah, but anyway,
Liverpool.
Liverpool, top of the table. Were you expecting this? Because it's been a big turnaround in the last couple of weeks. Because everyone was saying, not that it was a one horse race, but City were the team to beat, and nobody could really see a crack or a chink in their armor. And now, in a pretty short space of time, they're 6 points behind you, and the goal difference that they had, which was considerably better, is now
zero. Yeah. No, I mean, I wasn't expecting this. I was optimistic that we could keep winning games and keep the pressure on them, but I didn't expect them to lose to Leicester and Crystal Palace.
Mm.
Is it three defeats in the last four games they've had?
Yeah,
it
could well be.
So. Yeah, it is. So, it's amazing. I mean, I'd never thought it was a one-horse race the way most of the media did, although you can kind of excuse people for assuming City were going to run away with it. I just think that the fact that we're not dropping any points keeps the pressure on them and I guess can lead to mistakes and
sure
these types of results.
It is a bit of an illustration of how quickly things can change, particularly over this period of the season where there's a lot of football being played. And I say that in the light of Arsenal's terrible 1-1 draw at Brighton, which was probably our worst performance of the season. You know, coming after a hard-fought win against Burnley, you kind of think, okay, get yourselves back on track and start winning, and you don't. So my hope is that in a few weeks' time, we might look back on this particular little blip and think, okay, it wasn't great, but we've won a few games now, and the table looks a little bit healthier. Yeah. Of course, that's dependent on, you know, having some defenders who can defend, which is a significant problem for us this season. We might touch on that in a moment. but I have to say, I said something on Twitter the other day that got a lot of people, not annoyed, but a lot of people disagreed with my contention that I would rather see Liverpool win the league this season than Manchester City.
I agree completely.
Well, I know you would. But my point was, is that even though it would be quite annoying for many people because they've got many more Liverpool supporting mates than they do Man City supporting mates, I think there's something really quite sinister about the whole Manchester City thing that's glossed over with a massive, hugely effective PR machine, which makes us forget what a cynical, horrible enterprise the whole thing is. And that, okay, Guardiola's a brilliant coach, and they've got some brilliant players, and they play some brilliant football. But if you, on the one hand, complain about how money is wrecking the game, can you not, on the other hand, then say City winning the title just contributes to that?
I don't know whether it contributes to it, but it's, yeah, they're inextricably linked.
Mm.
I don't know whether it's just City's PR company doing some nice whitewashing or whether people just don't want to think about these things because football is escapism and it's entertainment. But
yeah,
It is. It is a bit bleak and hard to take when you know the money behind City is so dirty.
Yeah, for sure.
But then the money behind Chelsea was questionable as well. I mean, it's not the first time football sold itself a long time ago.
No, that's true. But I mean, I guess at some point there will be a breaking point for people where you would hope there would be, but I'm not sure there will be actually, because all this stuff happens incrementally, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like if you took the Premier League in or the Division One in 1990 and you said just transported people forward 25 years or however long it is. How long is it? 28 years?
28.
28 years, okay. And you have clubs owned by nation states and you have oligarchs and you have this kind of money and there's TV not wrecking the game but paying absolute lip service to what's best for fans and what's best for players and what's best for clubs because they've got them in their pockets because of the money that they would have, I think people would just have gone, oh, fuck, this is really bad. But because that change has happened on an incremental basis year by year by year and we've all gone, it's like the whole Christmas comes too early. They've got the decorations up. They got the stuff in the shops in October. And every year people complain about it, but they do it. I'm not saying football is Christmas, but you see where I'm going with this?
It's the war on Christmas.
It is the war on Christmas. Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah, I'm not sure what question you were asking, but I'll just say in a general sense, I agree with you. It is dirty and horrible, but we watch it all the same, don't we?
We do. We do.
But as a neutral, I suppose, if you had to choose between Liverpool and City, then you should choose Liverpool because at least there's no human rights abuses involved in our money that we're aware of.
That we're aware of. Make that caveat. Yeah. What's his name? John Henry?
John Henry, yeah.
Yeah, John Henry could have a dungeon, a lair somewhere.
It wouldn't surprise you.
It wouldn't at all, but yeah. But look, I know many people will disagree with that contention, and I think the media love-in would be a little bit hard to take as well.
So Liverpool,
there is an element of that. But
hang on, there's a media love-in with every champion, so it's not unique to Liverpool.
No, it's just there's so many ex-Liverpool players doing stuff.
Yeah.
But at least Alan Hansen isn't anymore, so that's...
That's true. Is Lauro still around?
Yeah, Mark Lawrenson is on the radio here a lot, actually. He does Today FM and stuff like that, but you don't see him on the TV. He does... I think he does the BBC picks. You know, he does the predictions every week.
Predictions game, yeah.
Yeah, where if...
He's quite good at that.
Is he?
Yeah.
Do you think... I don't know. I don't pay any attention.
I used to read it weekly, and he was usually pretty good.
Right. Well...
Good chats.
Okay. But anyway, look, Liverpool's big strength this season could be their attack because Mo Salah, bit of a dive the other day, though, what?
Yeah, it was a bit soft.
Bit soft.
Happens in every game.
It does, yeah. Yeah, it's all right. The way it goes.
It's the way of the world.
It is. But Salah, obviously, Firmino, Mane, very effective strike force. But if you look at the Premier League table and you look at the amount of goals that Arsenal have scored and the amount of goals Liverpool have scored, which I think is more or less the same. I'm just going to bring it up here on my personal computer, which I can't do because it's got the spinning wheel of death, for fuck's sake. Here it comes. Where is the Premier League table? So Liverpool have scored 43. Arsenal have scored 41.
Yes.
Liverpool have conceded 7. Arsenal have conceded 25. That's the difference. And for a team, I think, that struggled defensively for many years, that's an incredible...
Turnaround,
or maybe not turnaround is not the right word, but an incredible piece of work that Liverpool have done, that Klopp has done to bring in Van Dijk, and he's obviously had a major impact on how solid you are at the back, but it's got to be more than just one guy.
Well, it is more than one. It's not just Van Dijk and Alisson. They've made a huge difference, but this hasn't happened overnight either. Last season, our defence was much better than the previous season, but because Liverpool's defence had been in the spotlight so much, any mistakes got amplified. So there was a narrative last season that our defence was a shambles, but for good chunks of last season, we were pretty solid.
Right.
I'm just trying to see. So it hasn't happened overnight, but yeah, I mean, they've taken it to the next level for sure.
Yeah, I just want to have a look at how many goals you conceded last season. In the end, 38 goals, which was the same as Chelsea, 2 more than Tottenham, 11 more than Man City, 10 more than Manchester United, who finished second. That's hilarious, really, yeah. Isn't it? When you look at Manchester United finishing second and what's happened this season, I'm very, very unhappy at what went on there with Mourinho.
In what way?
In that I feel like it would have been much better for football and for all of us if he'd been allowed to continue what he was doing.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. Perhaps given a 6-year contract with no break.
Mandatory contract.
Yeah, mandatory. Contract. Yeah, you cannot. No break clauses either way. You know, eventually, you know, himself and Pogba would have come to some kind of violent altercation. Felt like it was going that way.
Yeah, for sure. It would be against EU employment law, but maybe after Brexit, those types of contracts can exist.
Yeah. And they got rid of him, and now they've won 2 games in a row, and they're only 6 points behind Arsenal, and I don't like it.
No, but
like
I mean,
it's
the
unfair.
They beat Cardiff and Huddersfield, so I mean, I wouldn't be getting too excited yet if you're a United fan.
No, I guess so, but they also lost to teams like that this season, didn't they? So.
True. But I don't think you should be too concerned about them. Solskjaer doesn't exactly have a track record.
Yeah, he was manager of Cardiff, wasn't he, for a while?
Yeah.
Didn't go well.
No, it went poorly, so, I mean, he'll steady the ship, but...
I heard from somebody, who was it telling me? I can't remember, but apparently they were saying that it's Solskjaer with Sir Alex giving him the old steer here and there about what to do. That's what I heard.
Right.
So... He's back. He's back.
Well, he was sitting in the stands a lot recently, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's there every week, but I did like the look of complete disdain on his face towards Mourinho. I'm sure that had an influence on the decision.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they did noticeably show him in the crowd a lot during the Liverpool game.
Mm.
Yeah, so that could have been the breaking point.
How much has the keeper made a difference to this season for you? Because obviously, Karius last season was... I kind of feel sorry for him. I don't know where he is now. I believe he's running a bar in...
No, he's in Besiktas.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
How's it going for him out there?
Well, I think it's going okay, but he's made a few high-profile mistakes.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you're... How old is he, 20 or 21?
Karius?
Yeah.
Is he old? Is he that young?
I don't know.
Let's have a quick
23?
Look.
Something
Loris
like that.
Loris Karius. Oh, I spelt it wrong. Yes, I mean Loris Karius. He is 25.
25.
He's over the hill now. Yeah. There's no chance.
Yeah.
But anyway, Karius was not great, and Mignolet was
equally not great. Yeah.
Which was not greater than the other.
Oh, no, they were both equally not great, but in slightly different ways.
Right.
Yeah, if you could merge them into one human, they'd be a good keeper.
Or would they be a doubly bad keeper? Yeah. Maybe they'd be twice as bad as they already were.
That's possible. Mm. Yeah, Alisson's been great, you know. Mm. Couple of mistakes, but most of the time he's solid and, he's made a huge difference.
He's got presence.
Mm. The group at the back. What are they called?
Defenders.
Yeah, they're all here. Even Lovren's playing well.
Scored a good goal the other day.
He did.
Mm. Good finish.
And yeah, it's just, I mean, Gomez plays well when he plays.
Mm.
I know he's injured now. Matip comes on and plays well. Lovren plays well. Van Dijk is the guy that's organising it all. So
yeah.
He's made the difference.
He is a guy that a lot of clubs were interested in. I think Arsenal had a chance to sign him from
Celtic
and didn't. Which, in hindsight, was probably...
A poor decision.
Probably a poor decision. I do wonder what he would have looked like, though, under the final years of Arsene Wenger. Would he have just been a gigantic Mustafi? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
It is hard to say.
He's got pace. His recovery pace is really good.
So yeah.
I don't know. He may have survived that.
Maybe so. Maybe him and Koscielny would have been quite good together.
Our midfield is also starting to... come good. The new lads, Fabinho's playing well. I know he had a fairly hard time against Torreira at the Emirates, It was only his second or third game, but he's looking like a real player now.
Why has it taken so long to bring him into the team?
Well, I mean, I don't think he was ready, and his first few performances weren't great. So it was probably a wise decision to get him in slowly. But he seems to be getting used to the pace of things, and I've been real impressed with him.
Right. And what about Keita? Because he was, again, somebody that a lot of people were talking about as the kind of signing that a lot of the top clubs in England would have been looking at. When the deal was done, it was one of those where you did the deal a year before he arrived or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was January of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe something like that. So
he started the season well, and then he got injured and he missed, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks, did he? Something like that. And he hasn't quite got back to what you would think is his best, but he can definitely move the ball quickly through the midfield with the ball at his feet. You know, he makes surging runs, but his final ball has let him down lately.
Right.
But he looks like, you know, he's going to come good. You wouldn't be writing him off.
So,
good defence, good midfield and good forwards.
It's a winning combination.
It's good times.
With a good goalkeeper as well. Are you allowing yourself to dream?
Yes, definitely allow myself to dream, and it feels less deluded than it has the other couple of times we've gotten close. I mean, it's a genuine chance, you know?
Yeah.
If we can beat City on Tuesday, is it?
Is it? Are you playing City on New Year's Day? Or?
Oh, no, on the 3rd, whenever that is. That'll be Thursday.
Right.
There'll be 10 points, or potentially 10 points between us.
Wow. Okay, I'm just going to have a look at the fixtures.
I suppose we have to deal with the Arsenal game first. Even if we lose to Arsenal, we'll be ahead of them.
I have to say, after the game that we were at the Emirates, it's on Thursday, the Manchester City-Liverpool game, 8 o'clock at the Evil Etihad Stadium. Anyway, when we were at the Arsenal-Liverpool game back in November, it was, I think, a pretty positive performance from an Arsenal point of view.
Yeah.
You know, coming from a goal down. And in midfield, I thought we were well on top in terms of what we had with Torreira and Jack. And it was a positive display and would give you hope that when you're facing Liverpool again, I didn't realize it was going to be this quickly, but you're hoping that when you face them again, you remember that performance and you go into the game in good shape. And I'm a bit more worried now because of what's happened over the last couple of weeks with Arsenal, because of the defeat to Southampton, the draw with Brighton, a really, really poor performance against Brighton on whatever day it was, Wednesday, yesterday. Yeah. I lose track of days of the week at this time of the year.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It is, rather. But I'm now quite officially worried about this game because we have real problems defensively.
Yeah.
In that we don't really have any central defenders. Koscielny could only play 70 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was knackered and he had to come off. Whether they were protecting him for Saturday against Liverpool, I'm not quite sure. Sokratis looks okay, but Lichtsteiner...
He's a bad player.
Maybe he wasn't a bad player, but now he just looks so far off the pace in Premier League terms.
He looks out of his depth.
I almost felt sad for him because he... Well, I felt
he's
sad
such
for him.
A prick. You couldn't feel sad for him.
Well, no, he's one of those guys that if he wasn't on your team, you'd definitely hate him because he's got that to his game, you know. And the histrionics and letting the referee know that he's been fouled and everything. I get why he would be really annoying for people. What's annoying if you're an Arsenal fan is seeing him charge up the wing, get the ball, and do nothing with it. I've never seen a player of such experience be unable to cross a ball into the box with any kind of accuracy, with any kind of decent trajectory, to put the ball in somewhere approaching a dangerous area. His delivery from out there is absolutely woeful. And then he's knackered.
Yeah.
He's finding it very hard to get up and down the pitch. And, you know, he's 34 years of age. You can't blame him.
He probably wasn't meant to play this much.
No, he wasn't. I don't think he was meant to play that much. But, you know, you have to stop and consider the possibility that, you know, Bellerin could miss a few games with an injury or what have you. And I'm not sure that when Bellerin, I don't know how much you've watched this season, but has been really good for us. And fullbacks are how Emery, is a big part of how Emery likes his team to attack. Getting fullbacks and getting the ball cut back into the penalty area. Bellerin has been really, really good. Kolasinac in the last few weeks has been really good for us in that sense.
He's looked better.
It just strikes me as odd that if you have a player like Bellerin on one hand, and you know you need some competition for him and you need some backup for him, you get a player who is so the opposite of what he is. Young, fast, effective, dynamic, and Lichtsteiner.
None of those things.
No.
It was a weird signing right from the off, and it looked to me like a dressing room signing, like he wanted someone with that experience around the dressing room and didn't really expect him to play this much. So it was only his first transfer window. I'd imagine he'll try and address these things in January.
You hope so. You would hope so. I'm not sure how much he had to do with all of the signings either. I think a lot of them came from the football executive people who are doing that kind of business now, the old transfer committee, which I'm sure you're well aware of from a Liverpool point of view.
Yeah, but just to say, I mean, before the game in the Emirates last month, your defence was really dodgy and your midfield had been shaky, and that game was kind of an anomaly, the fact that you put 90 minutes together and Xhaka played like a professional footballer. It was unusual. So, you know, it could happen again tomorrow.
Xhaka's not Ola's that not bad. I quite like Xhaka.
He's not a top-level player, though. Mm-hmm. He makes some really bad mistakes.
He does. He's quite careless at times. You know, there's a lot to like about the way he plays, but his game is punctuated with those.
Yeah,
if he was like a goalkeeper, everyone would hate him.
Lapses in concentration and stupid mistakes. Mm. But in the Liverpool game, he didn't put a foot wrong. I mean, he played kind of above his level, which was really annoying, I found.
At the time. Well, who knows? He might do it again on Saturday. What do you make of the Mesut Ozil situation? I don't know how much you've been following, but Ozil yesterday against Brighton hauled off at halftime for Alex Iwobi for tactical reasons, left out of a North London derby for tactical reasons. He's been in and out of the team this season for tactical reasons and also a back injury.
I remember Coutinho used to have back injuries.
Did he?
Every January, yeah.
Right. I'm not sure that there's anything to do with the timing of it, but when you have a player of Ozil's stature and when you have a player of his ability, and he's so marginalised this season, it doesn't really augur well for his future at the club under Unai Emery.
It doesn't look that way. How did he play yesterday before he was taken off?
It was all right. I mean, he wasn't terrible or anything. He wasn't any worse, really, than anybody else.
Yeah.
He was maybe a bit too far up the pitch at times. I think by halftime, only Lacazette and Aubameyang had fewer touches than him. You know, and this is a guy...
he's your number 10, yeah.
Well, yeah, but not really playing as a number 10. I'm not sure Emery likes to play with a traditional number 10. So I don't think he'll play at Anfield.
Oh, Jesus. I hope he plays. But no, I mean, I wouldn't start him. He'll be a liability. Although, you say that, and then he could just turn up and have one of his games. You know, he finds the gaps or the spaces between people and ruins you. But it's been a while since he's had a game like that against anyone of any standard.
Yeah, particularly away from home.
Yeah.
I mean, he left him out of the game against Southampton because he felt it was too physical. He left him out of a game against Bournemouth away because it was too physical. I think he started against it. I can't remember. But Bournemouth away, he said this game was too physically intense for Mesut Ozil. Bournemouth make fewer tackles than any other team in the Premier League.
But then, I mean, why would he say physically intense? I mean, Bournemouth were in a good run of form at that stage. And they are...
I know, but look, it's
an energetic team. Is that what he meant?
Maybe it's what he meant. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's Bournemouth.
Well, I mean,
away from home. I'm not like taking Bournemouth for granted, but if you're Mesut Ozil and you can't start against Bournemouth away from home, how can you start against How can you start against Liverpool away? I'm not sure you can.
No, no, you can't. I mean, it looks like Emery doesn't rate him. So
doesn't trust him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely doesn't trust him.
And doesn't fit in his system.
Well, I don't know what Emery's system is either. That's the thing. There isn't a defined system. Do Liverpool play more or less the same formation every week?
No, he mixes it up. He has a favourite formation, but he does mix it up. Mm. Depending on who they're playing,
yeah,
and who's fit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what Emery is doing, but we're not quite sure what the one that he likes most is.
But it never includes a number 10 or a,
very rarely,
a playmaker like
very
that.
Very rarely, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And we don't have the thing about that is we don't really have the players who are in that system, if you like. Mkhitaryan and Iwobi, all right, but they're not producing enough, anywhere near enough. And then we've got the Lacazette situation going on where...
What's that situation?
Well, he took him off against Burnley and Lacazette was really unhappy. And against Brighton, midway, maybe around the hour mark, having made the halftime change, Ozil for Iwobi, he took Lacazette off and put Aaron Ramsey on. Now, I had no problem with the introduction of Aaron Ramsey, but in a game when you need a goal...
Yeah.
And you're playing with three defensively minded midfielders because he had Guendouzi, Torreira, and Xhaka. The obvious change for me would be to put Ramsey on for one of those midfielders and keep your striker on because, you know, strikers are good at scoring goals.
Right, and he's not just good at scoring goals, he's good at winning the ball back. He's dogged. I mean, the first goal came from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a little animal, you know, he's always at your heels.
Yeah.
He doesn't let things go.
So he's on the bench. Sitting there watching a team who he knows need a goal, and he's sitting on the bench, fucked off, pissed off for being taken off two games in succession. And I have to wonder about the man management in that situation. I know everyone's enthused by the way that Emery makes changes because it's so different to what Wenger did. You know, Wenger would wait till the 71st minute and he would make whatever change he wanted to make, whereas Emery makes them at half time, he makes them early in the second half. I'm not sure they've always been as successful as we would have liked, certainly against Brighton. A lot of times they have worked, and they have gone well. This time I think he got it completely wrong, and I do wonder if he's going to create a situation with a player like Lacazette, who's a high-profile striker, £50 million signing, and he's being taken off in a game when Arsenal desperately need a goal. I find that odd.
Yeah. What are you going to do? But, I mean, he's the manager. He's to make decisions.
Sure.
They're not all going to be right.
Yeah, yeah.
If you won the game, you know, it'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's meaningless to say that.
Yeah.
He can't be overly worried about whether Lacazette's going to have the hump with him.
Yeah.
He's going to do what he thinks he needs to do to win the game.
Sure. I guess so. But, you know, we've got a lot of players on the outs now. Ramsey on the way out. Ozil looks like his participation is going to be fleeting. I don't know. It just doesn't look like a really healthy situation. Danny Welbeck is going to be leaving, even though he's injured. If there's a problem with Lacazette, you know, I'm not sure it's healthy. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So, tell me then about Saturday. Are you feeling pretty confident about this one?
Well, I am, but I'm almost reluctant to say it because I was feeling pretty confident in November, and then. It was a draw.
Yeah, 1-1.
Although I'm feeling more confident now than I was then.
Yeah.
But then Arsenal have just played poorly in a couple of games and you do tend to bounce back quite well.
Mm.
Although we've only conceded 7 goals all season and I don't know when the last time is we lost at home. Liverpool win. Come on.
All right. I think, you know, there's something more to this game as well from an Arsenal point of view because Liverpool have yet to lose a game this season. And the longer it goes on, the more people start thinking about the Invincibles and the unbeaten season and all that kind of crack. So for me, obviously, it would be a pleasure to win on Saturday and take that 0 and make it a 1 in the losses column and protect the historical achievement of the Invincibles. But I genuinely cannot see Arsenal winning this game. And I'm not just saying that in a kind of reverse jinx kind of way. I just don't see how we can defend what you have in attack with the players that we have available to us.
Yeah, and I don't think we'll see the midfield the way we did in November. I don't see us losing that battle this time. Having said that, Aubameyang is incredible as a striker, and I think Lacazette's not far behind him. So, you know, you could score goals, but
we have to get the ball to them first. So how we do that.
And you know, as a fan, you may be worried about your Invincibles thing, but I can't think, or I doubt any of the players care about that. About Liverpool's...
No, because it's not... Like, if it was the final game of the season and Liverpool still hadn't won, still hadn't lost a game, it would be a thing. It would be a thing for the players. It would be something they were would be aware of.
Aware of.
Yeah. Aware of. And they would do their best, you know, to try and protect that. But yeah, I don't think they give a fuck about it at this point in the season. It's just about getting 3 points or 1 point from this particular game.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Should be fun.
I'd take a point now. If you offered me a point, I'd absolutely take a point.
Yeah, I'd say you would. I wouldn't.
I know you wouldn't, but I would. So it doesn't work like that, unfortunately. So we're going to have to sit and watch and
drink
heavily. Drink our way through it. Anyway, I wish you luck for the rest of the season, if not on Saturday.
Thank you. And to you.
And Happy New Year. And I'll see you in two minutes.
See you in a few minutes.
See you in a few minutes. Yeah. All right.
Good luck.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog. There you go, that was the Mug Smasher. And for those of you who don't know, he is my brother. And when we were kids, he smashed my Arsenal mug with his Liverpool mug. Hence, he is the Mug Smasher. He's on Twitter, actually, at Mug Smasher. He hasn't tweeted for quite a while on there, but maybe if some of you follow him, he might feel the pressure to get involved in the glorious, harmonious, wonderful, peace-to-all-men world that is football Twitter and Arsenal Twitter. I suspect he probably won't, but there you go. If you do fancy following, it is at Mug Smasher. Right, that's really just about that for this particular episode. It's kind of like an in-betweeny podcast episode, you know? James and I will be here after the Liverpool game, and we will be reviewing whatever the hell happens. Who knows? Who knows? It could be good, it could be bad, it could be very bad, it could be very good, it could be... There's just no way of knowing, because we can't predict the future with any great accuracy. Unless, of course, it is to predict that tomorrow Samir Nasri will be, you know, a massive prick. I think that's a safe one. I think it's a safe one. But James and I will be here with an Arscast Extra. Let's keep fingers crossed. Keep everything crossed. If you've got pets, make them cross their paws. I think we're going to need it for this particular game against Liverpool on Saturday. Let's hope we can pull something out of the fire that is an awful lot better than what we saw at Brighton. If it is, we have a chance to get something from the game. If not, could be a very badly morning when James and I discuss the game. Until then, take it easy, folks. Thanks for being here. Keep enjoying the festive season. There are probably some mince pies need eating. Go do that, and I'll talk to you soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Are you stout of mind and body? Do you possess two legs? Do you have reserves of stamina? And are you prepared to kick an opponent in the ghoulies? If so, Arsenal Football Club are now taking applications for the role of defender. Chairman Sir Chips Keswick says,
"We'll pay a king's ransom to anyone who can sort these cunts out."
Applicants should form an orderly queue outside Highbury at once.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.